Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Democratic candidate in Iowa Senate District 40 wants to earn your vote. Let's go in-depth with Lance Rorta from Lytton. So Lance, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a social worker, and I was born and raised in Pella. I own my own private practice in Oskaloosa called Unoya Counseling. I grew up on a century farm. I'm the sixth generation to live there. After I graduated high school, I kind of moved to the urban area and moved my family back here in 2017. I have my wife works at Principal Financial. I have a sixth grader at the Pella Community Schools and a kindergartner as well.
And that's where you went?
Yep. Graduated Pella High School in 2002.
What made you want to be a social worker?
I grew up a very privileged middle class life. Feel like I am kind of an empath. I kind of am a people person, and you know, I just really felt like my calling was to help people who didn't have the same opportunities I did, and to kind of help them through their own personal and family issues. And a lot of the work that I did right out of college before I moved back home was kind of macro social work in working to build up communities, high-risk communities, and build programs that are going to kind of help people out of poverty, make sure kids have healthy education outcomes, health outcomes, and those sorts of things.
And why are you running for the Iowa Senate?
Really, what called me to run is the mental health field. You know, I've been in the field since, you know, 14 years, and I really saw at a front row seat how awful Iowa is dealing with mental health. And mental health really interacts with everything: our education system, our hospital system, our family lives, our communities. And Iowa just doesn't do a good enough job at handling this issue. And it's a super complex issue, but I don't feel like they put a big priority in it. You know, I grew up on the farm with blue collar conservative values. And I also just feel like the Republican Party has gotten away from those values. And so I just felt like it was an opportunity to make my voice heard and be the voice for people that don't really have a place in our political system.
Well, and you see some of those people more than the rest of us do.
Right.
Because you counsel them, right?
Right, I do. And since moving back, I worked at the emergency room, and there just is no system for these people. So I was kind of their first contact in the emergency room when there was a family crisis, a domestic violence, suicide attempt. And really what we did is met with them, talked them down, and then sent them right back to the environment that they came from. Iowa's number 51 out of 51 on inpatient hospital beds. We're number 47 out of 51. We're counting Washington, D.C. That's why there's 51. We're number 47 out of 51 on licensed psychiatrists. And we are just facing a huge provider shortage. And that's especially true in rural Iowa. So when we are talking about the Des Moines and Iowa cities of the world, there's plenty of therapists there, and they're pretty resource rich. But rural Iowa's getting directly left out of some of these healthcare decisions, especially in mental health.
Well, why do you think that is?
Well,
all of these things, 47th, 50th. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a priority. And, you know, the Republicans have held the governorship since 2010, and they've also held a majority in the legislature. And a lot of people around here, well, I'm conservative, I'm fiscally conservative, how are we going to pay for this? And in 2010, our budget was $5.6 million. And since being in control, the Republicans have made our budget to what it is now is way over $8 million. And so we have these giveaways to these big corporations, such as Facebook for $26 million, Google $17 million, Cargill $11 million for 14 jobs, you know, several hundred million dollars for Apple. So they're spending the money, quickly, very quickly. And so that's why I get kind of confused about what conservative actually means. So what I would say is it's not a money thing. It's not a cost thing. It's not a spending thing. It's a priority thing. And I just don't feel like we put our priorities into people the last decade. And rural Iowa gets disproportionately left out of that, because when you're voting for these go big or go homes, survival of the fittest policies, the urban areas get the advantage of that and rural Iowa gets left out. So I believe if rural Iowa is going to continue to exist and we're going to revitalize rural Iowa, we need to come up with incentives for young, skilled workforce to be available here.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Lance Rorta, the Democratic candidate in Iowa Senate District 40. Okay, so those millions of dollars going to corporations, and I understand why we wouldn't want that to go for an outfit that created 14 jobs, but those are tax breaks. It's not like real money yet. Mm-hmm. Those are tax breaks that we're giving with the hopes that much more money is being generated. But right. You're saying after the tax, but it's not like we're giving them $14 million. Mm-hmm. We're not taxing them $14 million.
Yep.
But you're saying that the return on that investment isn't worth it.
Right. I am. And I think we need to invest in our people, and we need to invest in our small towns. And the best way to do that is by having a skilled workforce and investing in our schools. And I think that there's also a big difference between spending and investing, right? If I go to the mall and buy a bunch of stuff I don't need, that's spending. But if I'm putting money into a 401k to build a brighter future for my family, that's investing. I think our best investments are going to go into our schools and our small communities and our healthcare system.
Okay, so better education, more highly trained workforce, and then the jobs will come? Or how does that work?
So I think we need incentives to bring young people back. When I worked for the hospital, it was a county hospital, and we were able to attain and attract lots of providers because there was incentives to be there, such as IPERS and also tuition reimbursement and loan forgiveness programs. So really, right now, as it stands in our small towns, we're going to face teacher shortages, we're going to face healthcare shortages and professional shortages because there isn't any incentive for the young people to come back to the small towns. So a lot of people in my generation or younger kind of flock to the suburbs, the urban areas, because there's more educational opportunities, there's more entertainment opportunities, and there's certainly more professional opportunities there. So I think we need to level that playing field if rural Iowa is going to continue to exist. And Iowa is one of the oldest states in the country. I believe it's fourth as far as age. And rural Iowa is even more elderly than the state as a whole. So there's no contingency plan right now for rural Iowa, and I'm worried about its future. And as somebody that's, you know, born and raised in this community in Lytton on a rural farm in a small town, and that farm's been in my family since before the Civil War, if that's going to continue to happen, there needs to be incentives for young people to be able to come back here.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Lance Rorta, the Democratic candidate in Iowa Senate District 40. Well, the big incentives, you know, that one would think would be good jobs, high-paying jobs, quality of life, the amenities that young people want in the communities, childcare. What am I missing?
Increased recreational opportunities. I think we need to continue to invest in our water quality, our public health, and our, you know, economic development in rural towns.
Good schools.
Yep.
All right. So we need to focus on all of that.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. And so how do we do that?
We need to, I think, start with our community. A good place to start would be with our community colleges. Right now, I think we're close to the top 10 of not being the affordability, not being able to, our community colleges being affordable. So I think, you know, four-year colleges aren't for everybody. I think we need to build in our trades and in our community colleges. And I think for a lot of people in small towns, that's kind of their ticket out of poverty and out of minimum wage jobs.
Your district is remarkably conservative.
Okay, that's
so
right.
How do you reach those conservative mm-hmm. voters? You said that you grew up conservative.
Sure, I did.
All right, yep. So, and the party's changed.
Yep. I believe so. I mean, that's my view. If you know, I'd be happy to entertain that argument with everybody. And first thing I'd tell them is, you know, I don't think you're wrong. This is just what I've seen in my experience. And I think my experience qualifies me for this position. So what I would say is I'm a pretty middle of the road guy. I think that the Republican Party has changed a lot since the Truman era. And I think I'm practical, and I would base my decisions based on data, on science, and return of investment. So if I'm going to be paying tax dollars, I want to know for sure that what I'm paying for, I'm getting the most out of. And I think we've gotten a long way from that. And I think the transparency and understanding how that process works has only declined. So again, I think that the truth is in the middle somewhere. I think politics has gotten so polarizing and black and white that we need to keep, there needs to be a special person, a good leader that's going to be a bridge for not only both parties, but I think generations as well. So, one of my areas of study and interest is in different generations, and there's just a vast difference in values between the baby boomer generation and, you know, the millennials and Generation X, and there's just the values are different. And I think it's hard for each generation to understand a different generation. And so I think a social worker is a good qualified person to be that bridge. And I just believe that not only do I represent Democrats and independents, but also positive thinking Republicans.
Are there any other social workers in the legislature?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. So there's one from Osceola. He's a Republican, Fry, and one in the House. I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but I think there's, you know, less than two, I think, or two or three. I think there needs to be a lot more. I think the world needs more social workers, but that's my own biased two cents.
People that understand and have been in contact with all members of society, that see all of our problems, all of our successes, see the struggle that many of us undergo, mm-hmm. and can appreciate it and help set the stage for success.
Yep.
So you see social workers helping?
I do. And my job is to sit in a chair and listen to people, listen to their stories, listen to their past, listen to what their goals are for the future. And I help with trauma and anxiety and depression and broken relationships. And I have a degree in, and I pay my bills to think critically and to find solutions for in the past communities and currently with individuals and families and marriages. That's my job, is to find a solution that works. And what I will say is I don't necessarily have the answers, but the people do. And my, I believe, skill set is to be the bridge and to be the vehicle for people to kind of find their own answers.
And you see where there's problems with the system.
I do.
And that's part of the reason you want
yep.
to be elected, so you can change
right.
the system.
I think the system is an inherent disadvantage for a lot of people. And, there's a lot of holes in it. I think our Medicaid system is now privately managed by for-profit corporations who continually get hundreds of million dollars of raises every year, while they make it harder to access health care and they make it less affordable. And so about a year ago, one of the managed care organizations that private, multi-billion dollar a corporation whose number one priority is to make profits decided that they were going to reduce the amount of mental health care that people receive. And that, I guess, struck a chord with me because I know in my profession how hard it is for people to get mental health care, period. I mean, right now I'm out 3 weeks and I think most people in my community are, it would take them, you know, at least 3 to 4 weeks for somebody to be able to get help if that help exists. And so people need help now. And when they don't get it now, there's a huge cost of doing nothing. And there's a huge cost of doing, you know, of, I think there's a huge cost of lives. So that was kind of what called me to run. You know, when we're putting profits in front of people, and especially our most vulnerable populations in our community, we then get into a point where we're picking winners and losers. So when the reimbursement rates are so low, rural hospitals can't survive. When they continually make extra hoops and administrative stuff for our providers, providers essentially say, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm losing money accepting Medicaid, and we have a situation like we do in Oskaloosa where there's no dentists in town that accept kids in Medicaid. And so there's a moral cost to that. That's, I think, what called me to run is that specific scenario and how awful Iowa is dealing with mental health. I think that's a moral issue. That's a priority issue. It's not costing us any less. And then there's this inherent cost of doing nothing when the long-term health outcomes and long-term educational outcomes are so poor. We're going to end up paying for that in the future.
Thanks to Lance Rorta for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.